Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Experience Health Radio, presented by Cingala Consulting. Cingala Consulting was founded with the single mission to assist healthcare organizations realize their investments in technology, employees, clinicians, and most importantly, their patients. We bring together industry leaders on air to engage in a conversation about the patient experience with a focus on the development and optimization in areas that have the greatest opportunity for improvement in healthcare today. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. I'm A.J. Malaraño, President and Founder of Cingala Consulting and the host of Experience Health Radio. As always, we're excited to share with our audience our experiences as well as the experiences of our guests live every week at 11 a.m. Central Time and on demand through our website and downloaded through iTunes. Today's topic is managing contact center implementations. Managing the implementation of contact centers is probably the most difficult phase in centralizing contact centers. However, it only is successful after a great assessment is done to analyze what the current state is, and then the design aspect of what you want it to be in the desired state. Many healthcare organizations are assessing their current state and readiness to centralize their contact centers. I know here at Cingala Consulting, we're often contacted to assess organizations' technology, their staffing, processes, but what's really imperative is how they're integrated into their existing EMR systems and their overall communication strategy. Everything from being able to access the patient data, having the reps at the point of contact with the patient, having the right information at the right time, making sure that the experience that the patients receive on the phone is integrated into their experience that they have with their self-serve portals, and the ability for the organization to offer what we call cross-care or up-care services. So if an individual is coming in for procedure X and you know that their demographics or their age dictates that they should be having follow-up procedures, scheduling those at that time, and being able to empower the representatives in the contact center to do that. Designing the plan to advance from the current state to the desired state once the assessment is done is really where the difficult decisions need to be made. And oftentimes, a project could be slowed down or even stopped during these decision-making processes, because the design stage often measures the commitment level of the organization. So when you're going up to a physician and asking them to open up their schedules and allowing individuals in the contact center to schedule into their schedules, it is often difficult for physicians and clinicians to give up that that control. Having the right technology and support in place for call centers, it's a different piece of technology that oftentimes the communication department isn't accustomed to. We're going to be talking next week about cloud-based call center technology, which is easier to implement and limits the need or the support needed to manage those technology. Often the HR department is involved during the design stage, and that has everything to do from job descriptions to the salary to having the right person or the right individuals doing the right tasks within the contact center. Those are difficult decisions. We've had a lot of turnover experience when you just don't have the right staff in place, whether that's managing it or actually taking those phone calls. And then, obviously, the entire process, re-engineering some of those processes and workflows that maybe you put in place when implementing your EMR, they worked when everything was focused around the physician office. but maybe they need to be re-engineered in order to offer centralization, scheduling of registration into a contact center. So all those things are difficult decisions to make, but very important prior to starting any kind of implementation. And then once you have the key stakeholders all in agreement with the design plan, then it's time to implement and execute on that plan. Very time intensive, but most of your decisions have been made, so it's really just time to do the work. And we are fortunate today to have our guest, Brenda Robinson, from the Metro Health System in Cleveland, Ohio. Brenda is currently managing the implementation of a centralized contact center for the Metro Health System. Brenda has a degree in accounting and finance. She is certified in Six Sigma, Lean, as well as change management. She has over 20 years of manufacturing experience with Goodyear Tire and Vengeance Technologies, broad range of experience in accounting, finance, benefit operations, as well as supply chain and global cost savings. Brenda spent the last 5 years of her healthcare experience with Metro Health System as a project manager and innovator. She led implementation of the patient-centered medical home and primary care, which resulted in an improvement to the care delivery process by improving the patient experiences through reducing wait times. Currently, she is managing, as I mentioned, the implementation of the centralized contact center focused on change management. Brenda is leveraging her experience in change management during this entire project, because as you could imagine, anytime you're bringing in new people, new management structure, new technology, there's quite a bit of change that is occurring, and how you manage that is essential. So with that, I'd like to welcome Brenda Robinson to the show. Brenda, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
So, Brenda, before we get started, I noticed a fun fact here about that you're currently writing a book to help young people transition from dependence, mostly on their parents, to independence, which is a logical fit and next step for managing contact centers. What made you write this book or begin writing this book?
Well, the premise is really based on a lot of conversations that I've had with my son over the years as he's grown up, particularly during his college days. There was a lot of tough decisions that he needed to make, and he was struggling to make those decisions. And just having those conversations to talk about, Mom, how do I select my first apartment, or how do I buy my first car? What are the things that I need to look at? How do I set up a savings account or start to invest? And what's the difference between a 401k and any other savings plan, a mutual fund, a Roth, for example? So all of these conversations I've had with my son, and I thought, if he's asking me these questions, there's probably other folks out there who have the same questions who can benefit from this knowledge base.
Brenda,
so that's where I started.
I think that's a great concept and a great tool. I'm sure many of us wish that we had that along the way, and maybe fewer mistakes could have been made, possibly on our end?
Oh, absolutely, for me. If you want to hear a story, I remember when I got in my first apartment, one of the things I talk about in my book is going through and checking everything in the apartment, doing a walkthrough with the apartment manager. What I failed to look at was, did all the windows work when I first moved in? And I was there for about a month before I tried to open one window and realized it was broken. Of course, it wasn't in the original assessment, so I was charged a fee to fix it, even though it wasn't my fault. So little things like that, people need to be aware of.
Oh, I think that's great. I think that's a very, very valuable tool. So, Brenda, with your background that I just went through, one would look at this and say, well, you know, Six Sigma, Lean, change management, 20 years of manufacturing. It seems like a logical fit for someone to manage a contact center implementation. How were you chosen to do this, and how did that all come about, especially in a healthcare industry?
Well, it goes back to the time that I spent in primary care implementing our medical home and leading the initiative with our access campaign to improve how we deliver care to our patients. The focus initially was on what happened in the clinic, making sure we had the right people with the right skill set doing the right work. So we focused on the workloads in the clinics, how we use the EMR to improve and gain greater efficiencies in our day-to-day tasks. How do we link that to a good patient experience by setting up the patient-centered medical home focused on not only the problem that the patient is coming in with, but the whole self? Just because my finger hurts, there may be other things that's bothering me. I may need to see a social worker. I may need help in other areas. So the medical home focused on that. So that was one piece of the patient experience once they're actually in the system. My experience through that and working with our leadership team led me to the contact center. They were pleased with the work that I did on that side. And the obvious next step was, we took care of the patient once they're, the process is once they're in the system. How can we create greater efficiencies to get them into the system for new patients who have not been to Metro Health or for existing patients? How can we make it easier for them to schedule appointments? So through some of the improvements that I made during the Access campaign and the patient-centered medical home, our leadership team looked at the work that I did and decided that I would be a very good fit for this next initiative because I gained that experience of how it relates to the clinical experience for the patient, now just looking at the other side.
Brenda, would you agree that oftentimes not having contact center experience but having patient experience leads to better decisions from the patient perspective and being able to have you put yourself in their shoes and not necessarily be tainted by, well, this is the way we've always done it?
Oh, absolutely. There's not a doubt. One of the things that we sometimes make a mistake of is looking at things from an internal perspective and leaving the patient out of the equation. I cannot emphasize enough how important it is to pretend you're a patient when you're going through this process. I often play devil's advocate when I'm in committee meetings and we're discussing decisions. I'll take on the patient role because I want people to keep the patient in front of them. While we're creating processes or efficiencies internally, we need to make sure that it's not just an efficiency for our benefit, but also something that's going to benefit the patient and improve their overall experience.
Right. Now, a few months ago, for our audience, the Metro Health System engaged Cingola Consulting to come in to provide an assessment of their current state and put a plan together for them to reach their desired state. Now, prior to the assessment, Brenda, would you say that Metro Health had a pretty good vision of where they wanted to go and what they wanted to do, and primarily, they just wanted to see what those steps were required to get there?
I would not say that they had a really good view. I think they had a general idea of what they wanted to do, but not really the depth of knowledge on how do we get there. We really needed your expertise to kind of help us develop that roadmap and to guide us down that path and in the right direction, because there were a lot of things that came out from your assessment that we probably would not have considered, especially around the advancements in technology.
Got it. So with that, today, what would you say, and I know you're in the early stages of the implementation, but what would you say that the vision is? And when it's all said and done, and I don't know if it's ever done, but when you reach that point and say, okay, this is the picture that we had in our minds, the vision that we had, what does that look like? What does Metro Health look at the ideal situation being?
We want to be strategic partners with our network health centers and our specialty care clinics. The goal of that is being strategic partners. We want to make sure that we have everybody integrated in the process. Oftentimes the call center kind of functions on an island. And we're trying to change that. We're putting together integrated teams that have nurses and agents and doctors that work together, and we're even looking at adding pharmacy technicians, to work together to make sure that we get to first call resolution and an exceptional patient experience. You're going to hear me say patient experience over and over again, because at the end of the day, that is what we're here for, to address the needs of the patient and make sure that they're taken care of. So strategic partners focused on first call resolution and a higher or exceptional patient experience.
How does the Metro Health System measure patient experience or patient satisfaction? Are there plans to do it through the contact center? Are they currently using some kind of survey system? How are they doing it today?
Right now, our marketing and communication department use external surveys where we call the patient and they answer a few questions. We also have HCAHPS scores that we use when we're looking at inpatient stays. And as we continue to move forward with the implementation in the call center, we're looking to implement surveys at the end of each call to get the patient's feedback.
Okay, good. What made MetroHealth decide it's time to centralize? It's time to take some of the scheduling, the registration out of the offices. Let's focus it in a central location. Was there one particular event? Was there anything that you can remember that said, we need to do this?
There are a couple of things, AJ. One being there's a lot of different scheduling protocols that goes on in the clinics based on provider preferences. What we're trying to do is to standardize that, how we schedule, to make it easier for the call center team to get the patients in based on the patient's preference. In most cases, we're trying to get to what do the patient want. But in addition to that is economy of scale. We used to have call centers sitting in remote locations, and we still have a couple of remote teams. But in the past, if someone was absent, we had a couple people absent on that team, our service levels took a tremendous hit. So we're trying to gain greater economy of scale. In addition to that is shared knowledge for the team. We're looking at leveraging and centralizing our scheduling protocols. There is some differentiation between our health centers and some of our specialties, so we're developing a centralized pool for everybody to use to do that. So we're trying to simplify, gain greater efficiencies within the call center, and, of course, the biggest problem is FMLA and absenteeism. So having a centralized call center allows us to better manage the resources we have to cover those days when we have high FMLA utilization or absenteeism.
Brenda, I know that that's a sensitive topic, but I also know that it's a common challenge that organizations with contact centers have. Have you figured that out yet? How are you best dealing with absenteeism in the contact center?
You know, it's an ongoing struggle, I don't have an answer right now. We're trying to move resources where they're needed most, but overall the service levels do take a hit. We're trying to get temporary labor to come in and help us. But it's an ongoing struggle because FMLA is so unpredictable. You never know from day to day how many people you're going to have out.
Does it make it easier? And maybe it's too early to tell, but I know that you guys are partially centralized now, but does it make it easier to manage that and making sure that you allocate enough resources to certain clinical areas when they're centralized versus across the organization in different physical locations?
Oh, absolutely. For example, when we have high demand in one of our clinics, it's easier for me to go out and tap the supervisor on the shoulder and say, move a couple of your agents over here during this half-hour window when we know we have high demand. It's much more difficult when you have remote locations to do that.
And you talked about getting some of the key stakeholders on board and talking to the physicians and having that single call resolution. And I know you're probably still going through this process because I remember having these conversations. But getting the physicians on board to open up their schedules and allow for the contact center to schedule their patients. Talk a little bit about what your strategy is, what your approach is. You know, is it big bang? Is it small wins? How are you doing it, and how are you gaining their trust?
Well, there's two stages to this. Part of the getting the physicians on board started with the access campaign and standardizing the schedules, especially across the primary care environment. And we're currently working through that campaign to standardize schedules within some of the specialties. So that started. The other piece of it is just having a physician champion on the team to work with the medical staff to help them understand and communicate in their language what we're trying to do and communicate how it benefits the medical staff for us to do this. Now, I've had this experience in other initiatives here at MetroHealth where I've tried to have that communication with the medical staff, and I have found from experience it's much more meaningful when it's coming from a physician.
Right, right. Now, does that physician currently have his or her patients being scheduled through the contact center, or they just have a firm belief that this is the right thing to do? How are they positioning it?
Right now, because the contact center is not managing that specialty, we don't currently do that, but it is in the pipeline.
Okay.
He understands. He fully understands what our goals are, and he supports us 100%. And having him on the team has been tremendously valuable in helping other docs who are not as close to the process understand what we're doing and why we're doing it.
Okay. And in addition to the physicians, what other departments or key departments have been involved during this implementation? Everyone from HR to nursing to who else was involved, and how important was their involvement?
At the top of the tree is probably IS. I can't think of any efficiency or improvement initiative I've ever experienced in any company I've worked with that didn't have IS engagement or did not need IS to make it happen. So IS, HR, of course, the call center team, and our team is made up of agents as well as nurses who do triage, medical operations, our ambulatory network, because right now we focus on our 15 network clinics, which provide specialty and primary care. We need that team engaged because we need to understand what their business plan is, what their growth plan is, so we can take that into consideration as we're planning and implementing to ensure that we have the right resources to support the volume coming in.
Okay.
And marketing and communication as well. We need to know what kind of new initiatives they have going on in the community. Are they bringing in new insurers, again, looking at the additional volume that's coming in to make sure that we can meet that demand?
And, Brenda, just between the two of us, and we'll pretend that the thousands of people listening aren't listening right now, but talk a little bit about some of the difficulties or the challenges that you personally have with managing such an incredibly large and important project, everything from your communication within the organization to the patients to technology to HR type things.
I'll start with communication because not everybody clearly understands what we do in the call center. So first and foremost, and help is helping people understand what services we offer and also what services we don't offer. Oftentimes, people think if they get a scheduling error, it's because of the call center. But within our organization, we don't handle 100% of the calls that come in. So we spend a lot of time helping educate people on what we do offer and what we don't. Making sure that we stay focused on the patient experience and not letting other priorities get in the way. And I think others out there have experienced this. It's what's happening today tends to cloud the long-term project. And this is not a short-term project. So we have to make sure that the key stakeholders, the people on the team, stay focused on our goals so that we can take it to completion and meet our timelines. Effectively telling the story. That probably is the biggest challenge because each stakeholder looks at it differently. So while you have to tell the story, it has to have nuances that mean something, say, to a physician or to a nurse or to the director of a specific clinic because everybody wants to know what's in it for me. So being able to effectively communicate that. Did you have a question?
I did, but I lost it. I can't remember what it was.
I'm sorry, I was on a roll, wasn't I?
No, it's okay. It's okay. I like that. I like the passion. I can hear the passion in your voice with this.
In terms of expectations, I think to get there, we really have to sell the value of what the call center does and help everybody see how it benefits their particular organization, and repeating and clarifying what we're trying to do. One of the other challenges I've had, AJ, which is probably the biggest, is new leadership. You know, whenever you're doing a project this big and new leadership comes in, you tend to halt things to see what direction the organization is going in. So fortunately, we got a new leader who fully supports what we're doing, and we're continuing to move forward. So others should be aware, if your leadership changes, it's probably going to impact your project to some degree.
Right. And along those lines, Brenda, as we're approaching the end of our time today, what advice would you give from your level looking at this now, knowing what you know, advice for other organizations as they enter into the assessment and design and then eventually the implementation stages of such a project, what advice would you give them?
I think I have three pieces that I've learned is key and very important. First of all, early on, it's important to fully vet what it is you're trying to do and agree on expectations and goals. If this is not done, you will spend a lot of time going over the same thing, trying to determine what direction you're going in. So it's worth it to upfront spend a few months just trying to determine what do we want to do and make sure you gain consensus on that. Don't start the process until you have the commitment of the resources needed for success. And resource could be time, it could be people. But you'll get down the path and find that you hit a wall if you don't have that commitment. So the project slows down or even comes to a halt. So you've got to have that up front. And make sure you have a physician champion on the team to get the buy-in of the medical staff. They're a tough sell, and that person will be key to helping communicate to the physicians in their own language why this is the best option for them and how it's going to benefit and help their workflows and their patient experience.
Very well said. Brenda, 18, 24 months ago, did you ever imagine that you would be leading a contact center implementation and quickly gaining enough knowledge to become an expert in this area?
Absolutely not. I had, if you asked if this was on my radar, it was not even in the ball field, AJ. This is something that I had never considered doing, but I got to tell you, it's been a wonderful experience because it's so very different from what I've done in the past. It's just the biggest challenge for me is the technology right now, just learning all the things and all the capabilities, cloud-based versus on-site. It's exciting. It's new. Definitely quite challenging, but no, this is probably a career choice I never would have made if somebody gave me an option, but I'm happy to be in this position right now because it's a great new skill that I'm learning and good opportunity to do something.
Well, I think Metro Health is, based on our time there, is definitely positioned for incredible success in this project. I think they're very fortunate to have someone like you leading it and managing this implementation. I think that their commitment to this project is incredibly valuable. And I think my only question that I think I forgot today was, I don't remember asking you the name of your book. Do you have a name for your book yet, Brenda?
I am thinking about calling it From Mom to Me.
From Mom to Me?
Yes.
Okay.
Basically saying, okay, Mom, I'm moving away from dependence on you. I'm now depending on myself. That's one. And then the other was kind of self-serving. It was one for me, two for me, a practical girl's guide to saving money and living better.
I like the From Mom to Me.
See, it's more specific to the topics. Yeah.
It is. Well, Brenda, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I'm sure our audience has learned a great deal. And if they have any questions, they could contact us at SingalaConsulting.com, and we can put them in touch with you with any questions on implementation. So this will conclude our show for today. Remember that next week we will be discussing cloud-based contact center technology, where Five9, a solution provider, will be our guest. Thank you for joining us today, and please visit us at SingalaConsulting.com to learn more about how we can help your organization realize their investments. And as always, remember to always put the patient at the center of every decision you make. Thank you, and have a great week.